A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." So they asked him, "What are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you, so we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Some Pharisees were also sent. They asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
My dear brothers and sisters, today is the third Sunday of Advent, also known as Gaudete Sunday, the Sunday of rejoicing. We begin the second part of the Advent season, in which we are invited to enter into direct preparation for the nativity of our Lord. And we have begun this period of Advent with the blessings of heavy rains, perhaps the sign that the Lord will come to us with even more blessings at Christmas. So it is the Sunday of rejoicing. Advent is a season of commitment and conversion in preparation for the Lord's coming. But today, the church invites us or gives us a foretaste of the joy of Christmas that is now at hand. And in fact, Advent is also a time of joy, because in this season, the expectation of the Lord's coming is awakened in our hearts. Looking forward to a person's arrival is always a cause of joy. And this joyful dimension is present in the first of the Bible readings of this Sunday, as well as in the responsorial psalm. In the first reading, prophet Isaiah says, "I'll greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness." And also in the responsorial psalm, Our Lady says, "My soul magnifies the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." So Mary's song is a confirmation or a finishing touch of Isaiah's voice. Isaiah magnifies God for the gift of grace. Mary also magnifies God for the gift of grace, but a gift of sublime grace the greatest grace that a human being can receive from God. In this duet by the Virgin Mary and Isaiah, the liturgy of this Sunday finds its name, the Sunday of Rejoicing, or Gaudete Sunday. The invitation to rejoice is closely united with the call to pray, as we heard in the second reading. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, the Apostle Paul tells us. Only prayer can strengthen in our souls that adoration of God, which is full of gratitude, and which the Immaculate Virgin Mary and Prophet Isaiah expressed in today's liturgy of the word. Only prayer can open us completely to the mysterious, at the same time, the real action of the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. St. Paul again tells us, and we heard this in the second reading of today. But how can you fulfill this injunction to pray at all times in the midst of ordinary employment and the engrossing duties, the different activities, you know, in which we are immersed on a daily basis? The answer is that prayer is not always saying words. Prayer is also a kind of spiritual communion with God, and this spiritual communion can be attained always. It is, in its concrete form, the desire to please God always in all that we do. It is the will to do God's will. It is the determination not to offend God. It is the intention to honor God and glorify Him in everything we do. So by fulfilling our duties accordingly in our places of work, we offer some form of prayer to God. But in a particular and special way, to have intimate communion with God always, we should set apart certain periods of the day for explicit communion with Him, with God, in meditation, in participation in the Holy Eucharist, in spiritual reading, etc. We must pray privately and in communion in our families and with our families. The family that prays together stays together. Now comes the question with which the Levites and priests asked John the Baptist, "Who are you?" These people wanted to know the identity of John, who he was. Their desire certainly did not stem from mere curiosity. The people who asked this question belonged to the nation which for centuries had been waiting for the coming of the Messiah. Their greatest longing was to see with their own eyes the salvation which God had prepared for the nation of Israel. They wanted to know whether this is the person whom they were waiting for centuries. So John reveals his identity as the voice of someone shouting in the desert. He is in fact the voice who announces the coming of the Messiah and gives witness to it. He does not claim to be the Messiah. He admits to be only the voice, an instrument that announces the word of God, the true Messiah. This also reveals one aspect of John's humility. But Jesus himself is the one who gave the true identity of John the Baptist when he said, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist." So he affirmed the identity and greatness of John the Baptist. The greatness of John the Baptist lies in his different qualities from which we can learn. John was great because he loved silence. He lived in the desert, and in the silence of the desert, he entered into the depth of his heart and asked himself certain fundamental questions regarding his life, such as, who am I? Why am I here on earth? What am I called to do? Etc. In this way, John went through the process of discernment regarding his vocation. Moments of silence are so precious and important in our lives. You remember that Father Zachary, when he was beginning his Advent mission here, this was the very topic he began with, silence. He said it all begins with the silence, because it is in silence, in the silence of our hearts, that God speaks to us. Even Jesus himself, before he began his earthly ministry, he went to the desert. He went into the silence of the desert to examine his vocation, his ministry, how he was going to accomplish it, to speak with God, his Father in heaven. John was great because he was a man totally free from any type of identity crisis. He never measured success in life in terms of rich food, fine clothing, a comfortable shelter, etc. He only lived in the desert. His clothes were animal skin and lived on locust and honey. He did not follow the maddening crowd in running after wealth, pleasures, name, or fame. So John teaches us that to be free and committed to the task, we must live like him. We must shun certain things that are likely to distract our attention. John also teaches us that humility is a hallmark to greatness. He honestly admitted the fact that he was not the Messiah, but only a voice crying in the wilderness, unworthy even to untie the sandal straps of the true Messiah. John was detached, humble, happy, free, strong, and brave. May God give us the same qualities, so that when he comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead, he may find us ready to receive and confess him, as did John the Baptist. Amen.